Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We were talking a minute ago about the government suit against Google. They're accusing them of being monopoly or using monopolistic standards to ensure that they corner the market. And we were talking a little bit about that with Steve. 773 said, Google annoys me with all of the sponsored ads that come up first when I search. I want information, not advertisements. Yeah, I kind of don't like that either. Sometimes I click on something and it's not what I wanted. And there it was in the top half of the page. But again, that's the sort of thing I think the market should decide. So then if I don't like that, I'll go find somebody who doesn't do that, maybe. John, I don't think I could change from Google. You got to figure out how. But 708 said, you can change your default search engine to DuckDuckGo, as I did many years ago. DuckDuckGo is great. And 773 says, hey, tech person here, going back to Google browsers, all Microsoft products come default with the Bing browser. You have to replace it with Google Chrome because it's a superior product, speed and search results. And in fact, when I was talking to Pete on and off the air here about what we use at the radio station, since most of us are using Chrome as our browser, then we are in fact using Google when we search. That's Google Chrome. So I don't think I've clicked through Bing in a long time. If I have, I didn't do it on purpose. And again, I hate to say this, I kind of don't care. I just want to know who scored the touchdown in 1983. And I type in who scored the touchdown in 1983 in a box, and it's magically appears before me, you know. Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly, it's funny because it sounds like if I put the A there, it's a week newsletter, Eric, and it's not a week newsletter at all. It's a weekly
newsletter. Oh, it's very strong.
It's very strong.
Very strong.
Very strong weekly newsletter that has commentary and stuff like this. It's called the Picayune Sentinel. If you click on ericzorn@gmail.com or email him there, he'll sign you up for the list. You can pay a small price for the premium version of it. How are you, Mr. Zorn?
I'm good. I'm a big Google user myself and have never looked back. I used to use things like Dogpile and Ask Jeeves and some of those other search engines that were around. Yahoo is still in existence as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But Google it's become a common verb. I understand why they're talking about maybe it's a monopoly, because it's one of those things like Band-Aid or something or that has just become so ubiquitous that it almost loses its brand identity. Like, you Google something, right? You don't, I'm going to look it up on the internet. No one says that. You say, I'll Google that, even if you're using Bing.
I'll Google it on Bing, for crying out loud. I got a haircut yesterday, Eric, to get ready for our big Mincing Rascals show at Second City.
Really?
Yeah, well, I want to look my best when we're up on stage, and I thought I'll go ahead and get my hair cut, and then it'll grow in just a little bit so it won't look like I just got a haircut, and I will look and be my best.
Well, that's going to be 2 weeks from today, so you're going to have like 2 weeks of growth.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut, they say, is 2 weeks. I got a nice haircut. Bertha did a real swell job for me yesterday, but now I'll just be a little grown in, and that's my segue to don't miss our Second City show with Eric, with me, with Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute, the always engaging John Hansen, and the equally engaging Brandon Pope. And we'll all be up on stage. That's at Second City Tuesday the 6th. Second City, Tuesday the 6th here in Chicago from 6 to 8 p.m. You can buy some beverages and foods. It'll be a lot of fun.
They can evaluate all of our haircuts.
Well, I'm bringing my game.
I feel like you've thrown the challenge down. I'm going to have to get a coif now.
Tickets are available at WGNradio.com/rascals, sponsored by Allied First Bank. You can still get a seat for that. What are you writing about Tiger Woods for in your latest edition?
I'm not writing about Tiger so much as I'm writing about the plans for the golf course. If you remember back in 2016, 7 years ago, there was this big announcement from the city that they were going to there are these two kind of scruffy municipal courses down on the south side, Jackson Park, which is 18 holes, and then South Shore, which is 9 holes, and they're close to each other, very close to each other. They kind of abut one another, and they were going to basically tear those apart and build one 18-hole PGA Championship course as designed by Tiger Woods. And the idea was audacious and spectacular. The idea of a beautiful golf course right on Lake Michigan. Something we already have the course that I call Waveland up on the north side. It's technically called the Sydney Maravits 9-hole course. It's pretty, but it's not championship quality. It's not long enough or anything. It was a great idea. The problem was it was going to cost $60 million to do this and built, totally redoing a golf course cost $60 million. And okay, they were going to raise $30 million in private funds, and then $30 million were going to be public infrastructure funds. They were going to have to build pedestrian underpasses and so on under Lakeshore Drive and all kinds of other stuff that was going to have to happen. So we're talking about a $60 million project. And I was among those who at the time was just saying, like, this is just kind of a lousy idea. Even though it's spectacular, they're never going to raise the money. No one wants to pay that money. And they had to promise that they were going to keep the greens fees, that is the money that you pay to play, at a reasonable rate, somewhere around $50, which is, when you play top quality golf courses, it can run into the hundreds of dollars. And that's because golf courses like that require a lot of maintenance. So it was this, like I say, audacious but strange idea, and fundraising just never happened. And the people who live around the course were saying, like, wait a minute, this is a nice, Jackson Park is a nice little course. I called it scruffy. I play it several times a year. It's not a terribly challenging course for a good golfer. So I'm not a good golfer, so it challenges me. But it's a place where you can kind of learn to play, and the greens fees are reasonable, and it's a real civic asset. And they were going to destroy that and make this fancy thing. So Block Club Chicago reported that the Obama Foundation, which was sort of behind this effort, has backed away from it, and so now it looks like that's not going to happen. And my suggestion is that we take some of this enthusiasm for these golf courses and give, say, at least Jackson Park a couple million dollar upgrade. Make the holes a little longer, make the greens a little bigger, a little bit more challenging, put in a few more sand traps, maybe some more water hazards, things that make golf courses really interesting. It wouldn't cost $60 million, or maybe more like $6 million. And you could really turn a course like that into you could turn it into something that would be as much of an asset as some of the nicer.
How close would that be to the Obama Center that's going up then?
Maybe a long par five from there.
I like the idea. Then you'd have the museum, you'd have the Obama Center, you'd have a upgraded golf course. The construction that's going on over there is pretty impressive. I don't know if you've driven around there lately, but that's a going concern what they've got going up.
I have. I'm still not exactly sure why people are so excited about this shrine to Barack Obama. And I am a big fan of Barack Obama's. I just don't quite know what the draw is going to be there for that. What they're going to have there. They're going to have some civic events, I guess. But it's not like you want to go to a museum to see what his tan suit that everybody got excited about.
They should have that in a glass case, like Madame Tussauds, whatever it is, the wax museum. They should have a mannequin wearing the suit there. That would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly they're planning for that temple shrine to Barack Obama. I don't know who's going to come visit it more than once or twice. These presidential libraries, at a time when so much is digital, they don't make as much sense to me as I think about it. Like all the documents you'd want are all digitized. Researchers aren't going to spend a lot of time there, I don't think. There's going to be some public meeting spaces and event spaces, and that's nice. But boy, it's an awfully big facility, and people are donating millions of dollars to it. And I don't quite understand why you would donate money to that rather than hunger relief or earthquake relief or other things that are more urgent and pressing, or maybe to building housing in Chicago to help these migrants find a place to live rather than tents.
Yeah, well, that's another subject, but I take your point on that, although I'm not willing to dismiss the folly of this thing or decide that this is all folly just yet. You're making good points, but I like the fact that it's some sort of new construction, it's some sort of new infrastructure in that area, and there's still plenty of park space there, and it just seems to me like it's a point of emphasis that could have gone anywhere, but it went there, and it's, you know, south of the loop, so I'm happy to see us sort of directing some energies in that area, right?
You're right, John, and that part of the park, I know there's a lot of consternation about, well, they're going to be cutting down trees, and they did cut down a lot of trees and to build the building there, under construction. But that part of the park was not really heavily used, and I like you, I kind of like the idea of this being sort of a mecca down there with the museum.
Yep. And just like that, Eric's phone clicked out. By the way, Eric, just a couple of minutes left. Why were you talking about helmets? You actually had a piece about that in your latest, the helmets that people are not wearing when they're riding scooters around town.
Well, there was an article in the Sun-Times about how a company called Super Pedestrian, which is a scooter rental company, had left the Chicago market because the competition, I guess, was unfairly slanted toward its competitors, which I guess are Lime and Uber. And the photo accompanying the story showed a woman riding a scooter down the street wearing a helmet. And my headline on this was fake news, that I see people riding these scooters all the time, and my estimate was 95% of them do not wear helmets. And it's kind of scary because you got these little wheels and you're zipping along on the sort of on the edges of streets where they're often little potholes. And it just doesn't look at all safe to me. My readers disagreed. They thought that the percentage was closer to 99% of scooter riders that don't wear helmets. And it looks like fun, but it looks really unsafe. And so I saw if they'd ever done any studies, and you know, apparently there's a lot of people treated for scooter injuries in emergency rooms. And one study that I found that 95.6% of people who are treated for scooter injuries at one emergency room had not been wearing a helmet. And then when the researchers went out in the field and looked around, they saw that 94.3% of riders were not wearing helmets. So I think I'm closer. I think my 95% is pretty close. go ahead.
Well, there are some cities and states that have grappled with should motorcyclists have to wear helmets. We don't have a rule regulating helmet use for scooter riders or those unicycle boards that people zip around on. There's no regulation. Those are amazing. And those people go really fast, and damn, they're good at it. And to be honest with you, I can agree with everything you've said, but I think we sound like a couple of boomers here. I have never seen anybody fall. I've never seen them crash. I'm sure it happens. I just haven't seen it. But it looks really fun, really efficient, really eco-friendly, really dangerous, and really nobody's wearing a helmet.
And of course, the reason that people don't wear helmets is because they rent them, right? You arrive at the Ogilvy Station or Union Station. You want to take a scooter into your office. You're not going to carry one of those big helmets with you, probably. I mean, I guess some people do. The same thing is kind of true of divvy bikes, right?
Sure.
But most people don't wear helmets on those.
And I honestly, to the people that use divvy bikes or these scooters as a daily part of their commute, I don't know why they don't just carry a helmet with them. It can't be that much more cumbersome. You know, you could sling it over your back or put it in your backpack or attach it to your backpack. It would seem to me like you could do it. You just don't want to, and you don't have to. Should that be the rule or law, or should there be a city ordinance about that?
Well, it's an interesting question, I've wrestled with it when it comes to motorcycle riders because, you know, there is this entire movement. There's an organization, I think it's called Abate, that basically says that riders should decide whether they want to have helmets on or not when they're riding motorcycles. And the argument against that is that there is a dramatic uptick in safety issues for people who have brain injuries and other problems when they are in motorcycle accidents. And those end up affecting all of us because the insurance rates go up.
Yeah.
And so my argument would be, well, okay, you can, should be able to feel free to ride without a helmet, but maybe there ought to be some sort of a insurance regulation that if you're going to ride without a helmet, you need to pay double the insurance rate for the medical insurance rate that you're going to pay, or the insurance companies just won't cover your accident if you're discovered not wearing a helmet. So let people decide what kind of risk they want to take, but to have them more fully accept the risks that are involved, the public risk, the risk to everybody when they don't wear a helmet.
Well, I think so the most extreme version of that is, well, then you don't get any coverage at all. By the way, 630 says, John, I agree with you. A presidential museum dedicated to the first American black president will be very popular. Eric, wake up and smell the history. 773, John, I agree with Eric. We don't need President Obama to destroy open land to build the shrine. I'm a supporter of Obama. In my opinion, he didn't think this through, though. Why not develop some of the vacant buildings in the city for the library rather than build anew? And one last note here about search engines. John, instead of saying Google it, you'd be saying duck it. John, I switched to DuckDuckGo a while back after reading information on CNET. It's apparently a more secure search engine than Google. And one last note, I switched to DuckDuckGo, and I finally stopped getting random articles about Kim and Kanye in my news feed. That alone is totally worth it. Well, there you go. All right, well, Mr. Z, we're out of time today. You and I will chat with the gang tomorrow, and we hope that folks sign up to see us when we do the show live. We'll do it live! That'll be Tuesday, September 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Second City here in town. Sponsored by Allied First Bank. Go to WGNradio.com/rascals. Good reading, Eric. Thanks, man.
Going to be a good time. I can't wait to see that haircut.
Yeah. It's not a contest.